Well, good morning, everybody. We are continuing our series of Faith in Action this morning, and today we're going to be looking at faith in the midst of adversity. We're going to be looking at what I think is quite a cool story, actually, one that maybe one or two of you have heard about, David and Goliath. So if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17 in your Bibles, and we'll make a start. I'm just going to pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the examples of faith that you have given us in your holy word. I ask that you would help me this morning to serve your purposes for the church, that what you want to say would come to the forefront, and that my weaknesses would be laid aside. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's begin then. Verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socho, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socho and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, somewhere between 9 and 11 feet tall. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze, about 70 kilograms. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, about 10 kilograms, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come up to draw out for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So there we have quite a terrible picture of the threat of Goliath. But as we continue through, I want you to think about what are the things, the adversity that you are facing in your own lives today or have recently faced. What are the things in your lives that you place value in? And how do you feel when those are threatened? In this passage, it was the purposes of God for his people that were being threatened. And when you reflect on my previous question, I also want you to think, how might the purposes of God for your life be threatened by the adversity that you face? As I was preparing for today, Jeff and Miriam and family came to mind. They were forced to move out of a home that they loved around the corner. And yes, the Lord provided a new home for them in Herne Bay, but it was still a struggle. And they tried really hard to find a way to make it work purchasing a house. And I think they would openly say that that time was a battle to remain faithful for what God wanted in this circumstance. But they did remain faithful. And even more than that, the Lord wanted them to step out and go to a new calling in a different town without a home to go to. Let's continue then in verse 12. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem in Judah named Jesse, who had 8 sons. In the days of Saul, the man was already old and advanced in years. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had followed Saul to the battle, And the names of the three sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The three eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward and took his stand morning and evening. And Jesse said to David his son, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves, and carry them quickly to the camp of your brothers. Also, take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See if your brothers are well, and bring some token from them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." Now, at the beginning of that second section there, I was really struck by the contrast. So David is working, looking after the sheep of his father, and then he gets asked to do a courier job for his father. He's living in this place of humility. And I thought of the parallel with Jesus, who came to serve and not be served. And I think we too need to be in a place of humility all the time, like David and Christ, so that when adversity comes, we are already in that place. And we need to watch out that we're not motivated by fear when adversity comes, running through all the potential outcomes in our heads. When we're fearful and we're anxious, we need to reflect on our own relationship with God. We need to ask, what have I actually got faith for in this situation? Is it faith for the outcome that I desire in this situation, or should it be something else? An example from my own life is when I'm under pressure at work, or if I've got preach prep to do and under pressure at work, I can feel stressed and anxious and even fearful. And this comes out in an ungodly way often. I'll be quick to temper with my family, and it can drive me to seek comfort in worldly things. This in turn draws me away from God, and my spiritual well-being is under attack. Lack of faith is a serious thing, and it's a marker of where our relationship is with God. When you feel fearful, bring it to the Lord in prayer. It's an important part of looking after your relationship with God. And when you feel yourself drawn to things of the world, pray that God will help you to recognize what's going on so that you can repent and turn back to him. Continuing on. And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way, And the people answered him again as before. I'm struck here by how David is focused on the opposition as being against the living God and the will of the living God. And David's reference to Goliath being uncircumcised is significant here, because it was evidence that Goliath and the Philistines weren't in the covenant or the agreement that the people of Israel were in with God. For David, his motivation came from his desire to stand up to those who were opposing the one that he and the armies of Israel were serving, the living God, and his purposes for Israel. Carrying on. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." David speaks with utter conviction. He is so assured that the Lord will bring victory against this terrifying giant. And one source of his assurance is his pursuit for the will of God. Like the model of Jesus Christ, who said in John chapter 5, 19, "The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing." David wants what God wants, and this gives him faith that the Lord will bring victory. When we face adversity in our own lives, is our first concern with whether we are pursuing God's will? I can speak personally and say the answer is often no. My first thought is for myself. How will this circumstance impact me? We need to be a people who always ask the question first, what does God want me to do? And how can my relationship with God grow in this situation? And it's important to remember that you may not always see a direct link between what you're facing and the will of God and your relationship with God, but they are always connected. We can always be seeing everything as an opportunity to pursue God's will and to deepen our relationship with him. Verse 33, Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. For he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to him, "Go, and the Lord be with you." We see Saul casting doubt against David's conviction there. And sometimes we do face others casting doubt, but quite often the doubt is coming from within. We need to acknowledge the challenges we face and our own weakness, but not to be disheartened, but rather to lay them down before the Lord. Pursuing God's will means letting go of control and surrendering to his will, even as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane when he asked for the cup to be taken from him. But then he said, "Not as I will, but as you will." That's Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. You see, it can be easy in our everyday lives when we face challenges day by day to ignore God, leave him out of them. And when we do that, we just build up faith and belief in ourselves or trust in worldly coping mechanisms. We need to acknowledge and have faith in God in every challenge that we face so that we can build up our trust in him. If we do this, God will use those smaller challenges to grow our faith. So when the significant challenges come, we can do what David did. We can declare God's faithfulness to us in the past. There's a cliche activity that some of you may have done at work, where one person stands with their back to their colleagues and you have to fall backwards and they catch you. And the idea is you build up trust with your colleagues doing this and you'll have loads of trust in the workplace. It's a silly example, but we need to be falling backwards and letting God catch us all the times, so that we're building up more and more faithfulness in Him. How often do we actually acknowledge God in the small things? And when we do acknowledge Him, do we then remember that and look back at how He's delivered us? I'm reminded, as I've prepared for today, of the importance of journaling and recording God's faithfulness to you so you can look back on it. Also encourage us to declare when God has delivered us to our brothers and sisters in Christ to build them up as well. Recently, a friend of mine faced a very difficult situation at work. He went into work one day and he was told that he was being investigated for potentially doing something quite seriously wrong. So he was taken off his normal work while they investigated it until it was either proven or disproven. And they were understandably shocked and upset when they told me about this. But they also reflected on how the Lord had been delivering them through challenges prior to this, and how he'd been growing their faith in recent years. And in sharing that with me, they encouraged themselves to make the choice to put their faith in God in this situation and walk through it in a godly way. But they also were encouraging me as well. Verse 38, then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David put them off. When you face adversity, what things other than God do you turn to? Many times when I faced adversity, I've put faith in myself. I've become arrogant at my past successes. And even at times, I've had a conflict over whether to bring this to God or try and do it by myself. Even preparing for today, reading these words, writing this down, so much of the time, I've found that I've been trying to do it in my own strength. On Thursday this week, I woke up and I felt really wobbly in the morning about today. And I'd sent a draft to Brian and he'd sent some comments back. And I read through the comments, and Brian may not have picked this up in the subsequent phone call, but I was actually pretty close to tears. I thought, this is a complete disaster. I don't know how I'm going to get this ready for Sunday. And it was only then, when I was brought so low, that I realized how silly I was, that I wasn't putting all my faith in God, that He was going to say what He wanted to say in spite of my weakness. We may be tempted to put our trust in things other than God that the world points us to, but we need to do what David did, and we need to reject it. We need to reject Saul's breastplate, and as Illy referred to earlier, we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness instead. Verse 40, then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, took out the stone and slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron. So the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Sharam as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from striking down the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." An amazing story. Contrary to the logic of Saul and the fear of the armies of Israel, and despite rejecting what many would consider essential armament, David defeats Goliath. Ultimately, it's God who brings this victory, though by David's hand, and David has not hesitated to proclaim it before he rushes towards his adversary. And neither should we. The battle is the Lord's, we should declare. God is worthy of our complete trust. As Jesus said in Matthew 19, verse 26, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." We can see it in a very tangible way here in Samuel. And there's no stronger proof than the victory David's is pointing to, Jesus' victory over death on the cross. It couldn't be accomplished by worldly means. He didn't come with sword and spear. The Jews were looking for a mighty king on horseback to push back the Romans and reclaim the land. But it had to be done by God's means. The impossible needs God's ways. And the Israelites were emboldened to chase down the Philistines when they saw what David had done. Our faith and the faith of others will be built up when we can proclaim in the midst of trial and hardship that the battle is the Lord's and he will deliver whatever it may be into our hand. The friend I mentioned earlier went into another interview recently as part of the investigation. And he was trusting in his identity in Jesus Christ. And he was told that there was no case to answer and that he'd conducted himself so professionally during the whole process that it was going to go on record. And I found that extremely encouraging in challenges that I've faced recently. Let's be a community that share the victories together with one another and give glory to God. God wants to be in relationship with us. Jesus' mission was to restore the relationship between the Father and his children that had been broken. And an important part of any relationship is trust. Those you trust will be those that are closest to you. And faith is complete trust. When we face adversity, large and small, it's an opportunity to grow in trusting God and the belief in promises of Scripture. As we do, our relationship with God will be strengthened and we will become more like Jesus, growing in humility, in surrender, and in the love of God's purposes. When David made his final proclamation of defiance before rushing to defeat Goliath, he said that it would be so that all the earth would know that there is a God in Israel. In trials and hardships that you face, ask yourself, how can those around me, believers and non-believers, know that God loves endlessly and has limitless power from the way that I conduct myself in this situation? We won't live lives free from adversity, and sometimes it will even seem that God isn't delivering us from the adversity in the way that we would like him to. I mentioned the males earlier, who have seen God's amazing provision, even an answer to a prophetic word in the house that they live in Market Harborough. But once again, the landlord has said that they want to sell and they need to move out and find somewhere else to live. When I first heard that, I remember actually feeling slightly angry and saying inside myself, what is happening here? How can you trust God when he takes something away that he's given? It would be easy to lose faith in such circumstances. But instead, they are trusting in the Lord that he will provide what they need as they continue to pursue his purpose for them and his leading in their lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." We're not battling a giant at the head of an army, but we are in a spiritual war for God's kingdom. So let's be a people that trust in him to deliver victory into our hands through both the lows and the highs. Let's hold on to the spiritual disciplines of prayer, reading scripture, and meditating on what God is saying to us, as well as having fellowship with others so that we can proclaim God's goodness to each other. There's a well-known promise in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that came to mind when I was preparing today. And my prayer is that we would all know these words and believe them in our hearts, so that we can have the same faith in adversity that David did against Goliath. It says, and you'll know this, "All things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose."